reading from the book of Exodus. In the third month after their departure from the land of Egypt, on its first day, the children of Israel came to the desert of Sinai. After the journey from Rephidim to the desert of Sinai, they pitched camp. While Israel was encamped here in front of the mountain, the Lord told Moses, "I'm coming to you in a dense cloud, so that when the people hear me speaking with you, they may always have faith in you also." When Moses then had reported to the Lord the response of the people, the Lord added, "Go to the people and have them sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. Make them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people." On the morning of the third day, there were peals of thunder and lightning, and a heavy cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. But Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stationed themselves at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was all wrapped in smoke, for the Lord came down upon it in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The trumpet blast grew louder and louder while Moses was speaking and God answering him with thunder. When the Lord came down to the top of Mount Sinai, he summoned Moses to the top of the mountain. Verbum Domini. Glory and praise forever.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Glory and praise forever.
Blessed are you in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious forever.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Why do you speak to the crowds in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look, but do not see, and hear, but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it."
Verbum Domini.
In the gospel reading today, the disciples of Jesus approach the Lord and inquire into the reason for his use of parables when speaking to the crowd. And Jesus responds, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted." Now, on the surface, this response from Jesus might seem to contradict the generous spirit of the Lord that he had exhibited throughout his public ministry as he performs miraculous healings for so many people. You know, why would the Lord grant knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom only to his closest disciples while keeping the rest of the people in darkness? If he desires the salvation of all people, why are only select people granted access to this saving truth while others are denied such access? Well, thankfully, these questions are answered in the same reading from the gospel. Jesus goes on to say, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look, but do not see, and hear, but do not listen or understand." And Jesus then quotes a prophecy from Isaiah that describes a people who hear, but do not understand because they have hardened their hearts. They've closed their eyes. They have prevented the saving truth of the gospel from penetrating their hearts. In other words, Jesus's parables are not intended to prevent people from receiving the gospel message. Rather, they reveal what is in the hearts of those who hear the parables. And the disciples posed this question to Jesus after he had told the crowd gathered before him the parable of the sower, who sows the seed everywhere. Along the path, on rocky ground, among thorns, and on good soil. And if Jesus had spoken plainly to the crowd, instead of using this parable, he might have said something like, "I come to plant the seed of my word in your hearts, but some of you will not understand it, and will fail and will fall away immediately. Some of you will hear the word and will rejoice over it for a time, but you'll eventually fall away during times of persecution or tribulation. Some of you will hear the word and will be so wrapped up in the cares and pleasures of the world that it will not bear fruits. However, there are some of you who will hear the word, understand it, and will allow the word to bear fruit in your hearts." Instead, when Jesus delivers his message in the form of a parable, he leaves out any mention of what the seed represents, the seed representing the word, or what the types of soil represent, the various responses to that word. And the meaning of the parable will ultimately be received by a person according to the disposition of the one who hears. A person whose heart has not been hardened will receive the message and take it to heart. And yet even those who listen to the parables of Jesus with an open heart may still find themselves confused by the parables. We see this happen with the apostles. You know, even the apostles, those who knew Jesus best, needed the Lord to explain the meaning behind the parables, especially the parable of the sower. And the meaning of the parables needs to be explained, even to those whose hearts are open to receiving the message. But what's important is that they have their hearts open to receiving the message. That's the important basis. You know, in this regard, the Catechism, paragraph 546, provides a nice explanation of the parables of Jesus and their function. It says, Jesus' invitation to enter his kingdom comes in the form of parables, a characteristic feature of his teaching. Through his parables, he invites people to the feast of the kingdom, but he also asks for a radical choice. To gain the kingdom, one must give everything. Words are not enough. Deeds are required. The parables are like mirrors for man. Will he be hard soil or good earth for the word? What use has he made of the talents he has received? Jesus and the presence of the kingdom in this world are secretly at the heart of the parables. One must enter the kingdom, that is, become a disciple of Christ, in order to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. For those who stay outside, everything remains enigmatic. In other words, even those who hear and receive the word of Jesus with an open heart must make an act of trust, an act of faith, as well as act on the words of Jesus through their actions, through their deeds, so that they might witness the fruits of his word in their lives. The parables can truly be appreciated only when the hearer takes the word to heart and allows it to bear fruit. And disciples are called upon to become active listeners of the word, that is, those who hear the word of God and who act on it. And the goal of the Lord in all his public teachings and his parables is to bring his people to salvation. In today's gospel reading, Jesus quotes a prophecy from Isaiah that says, "Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them." This prophecy is a lament over the hardness of heart that is evident among the people of God, despite God's overwhelming desire to heal his people from the effects of their sinfulness. And yet they are unwilling to see or to listen to the word of the Lord, and so they cannot be healed. It is comparable to a doctor who tries to get his patients to listen to him and to follow his instructions so that he might heal them or at least prevent them from developing a more serious medical condition. And yet he finds that they are unwilling to listen. There's always a danger, even among the closest disciples of Christ who have followed the Lord for many years, for a disciple to change from rich soil to a type of soil that chokes the seed of the word or uproots it so that it no longer bears fruit. You must always remain vigilant in listening to the Lord, the word of Jesus, as we examine our hearts for any remaining hardness that we might find there. There's always that danger of regressing, you know, even if we're trying to be faithful to the Lord. And this means that we must be willing to listen to the magisterium and to one another. Oftentimes, the Lord Jesus speaks to us not only through scripture, tradition, or the liturgy, but also through other people, including non-believers. We should ask the Lord for the grace to recognize and to accept his word even when it comes from the most unexpected of sources, perhaps the person or group of people that we tend to look down upon or to denigrate. When listening to another person, we should adopt an attitude of receptivity towards the Lord, especially a person of goodwill, who might be trying to teach us something through this person, despite their level of education. As Pope Francis has said in one of his messages on the World Day of Social Communications, whoever does not know how to listen to his brother or sister will soon no longer be able to listen to God either. And thus, it is good to examine ourselves and evaluate our willingness to listen not only to God, but to our neighbor, knowing that the love of God and the love of neighbor are inseparable. They're inseparable commandments. And in listening to God, we strengthen our solidarity with our neighbor. And by listening to our neighbor, we help to strengthen our communion with God, with our neighbor, I should say, and also with the Blessed Trinity.